Once again, we want to welcome each one here. It's a blessing, a privilege to be here. Often on a Sunday morning, time to look at the fields and creation, you know, and it's just a real miracle to see the seasons change and new life, big change in 1 week even. And such a privilege and blessing, and a privilege as we think of the songs we sang this morning, to be able to sing those songs from the heart and to experience God's grace in our life. We're so blessed, so privileged to have health and strength and sound minds and the freedom and peace to be able to do this. And we take these things so often for granted and don't realize the rich blessings we have that so many people in this world don't have. So we don't want to just glory in the creation, but glory in the Creator, the one who has done all these things and all these things that we enjoy and are thankful for, they're temporal. May we lay hold of the eternal and value those things even more than the temporal. Well, I want to finish today. We've had this study on teaching, our New Testament teachers teaching. I'm not sure the exact title of it. And we began by talking about what needs to be taught. You know, we can get sidetracked by a lot of things and a lot of programs and some good things. Things that are good and necessary too, but it must be the Word of God and must be the Spirit of God breathing upon His Word. And then last Sunday we talked about the teacher, and there's lots of people that want to be teachers of the law. It says in the New Testament they want to teach others. They want that glory of being in authority and control. But the true teacher of God is humble. He's an example. He first is taught and then he teaches. He's a servant. And today we want to look at a little more our aspect. We did say that one way or another, we're all teachers. We all influence others. We all have others that we can teach and encourage and build up in the Lord. And but we all are students. We're all receivers of the law. And so I have to say, I didn't have a lot of time. We had a very busy week and thought a bit about this, but didn't have a lot of time to look into this. So I need your help. There's a lot of gifted teachers here, so I want you to feel free to share your thoughts. And it's interesting, the discussion sometimes afterwards. We hear things and you learn more afterwards sometimes than during when I'm up here. So I just want to provoke your thoughts. It's definitely a lot of areas I haven't touched on and won't be touching today. So feel free to share something that I don't look at. I'm just looking at certain angles of it. But we read Ephesians 4 each time, and I guess maybe we'll call that our text. It has the three aspects in there. Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul there is teaching about the doctrine of the church, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, the new creation. And that's one body, one church. In verse 12, I'm going to read this again. Well, in verse 11 it says, the different gifts, and the last two is pastors and teachers. In verse 12, why it is, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we have teachers, and they come in various forms, evangelists and teachers, or pastors too. They are somewhat involved with teaching, and but there's a purpose. It's to perfect the body of Christ, to perfect us, that we are edified, and that we come in unity, in oneness, in faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and then unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's the purpose of teaching, that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that we're stable, we're established in the truth, and that we grow unto perfection. So we're looking at each one of us. I trust that is our goal. We have to desire that. We have to have that as a vision, as a goal. You know, there's so many side attractions in life that get us away from why we're here and our main calling in life, that vocation, that high calling we have in Christ Jesus. So so if we're going to be profitable students, receivers of the word, then we have to understand why we want to receive the word and our need of receiving the word. And in 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about the natural man and the spiritual man towards the end of the chapter. It's by faith, and God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Then the last few verses, it talks about the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So that the man that is carnal, Corinthians says, that's death. And we're all prone to be natural or fleshly, earthly. And we like to see, feel, and touch. But it's a challenge that we become spiritual, we grow and feed our spiritual life. And that we see those things that are not seen. We read, I think, two Sundays ago, Job prayed that those things that, that which I see not, teach thou me. Job wanted to be a student of those things that he couldn't see, that were by faith, that that are eternal. And I trust that's our desire. There's both the natural and the spiritual, and I think Brother Jonathan mentioned that in a message a couple of weeks ago, that we need to feed, we need to encourage the spiritual man. Otherwise, the fleshy nature will take over, will become strong, will resurrect, and then we walk by the flesh again. So it's a constant struggle that we reckon ourselves dead to the flesh and alive in Christ. So we have to feed that spiritual man, that inner man. We have to be fed spiritually. Okay, going back to the Old Testament to start again, to see our need, Judges 17. There's many people that depended upon the Lord. But here's just one example in Judges 17 was a man and a woman, and the woman seemed to have this encounter with the angel first, and she told her husband, and his name was Manoah. I don't think we even know her name, but this angel brought a message to Manoah and his wife, and so then he, in verse 8, Judges 13. I can't read my writing. Okay, Manoah says after his wife was talking to him, he said to his wife, he's talking to the angel there, sorry. And Manoah says, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And then also in verse 12, verse 8 was the first one I want to read. Yeah, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us, what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So this angel told Manoah and his wife that they were going to have a child, a special child for a special calling. And they took this seriously. They didn't, today might run to counselors or a bookstore and get some books on how to raise children, but they went to the right source. They went to the Lord. They realized their inadequacy. And as parents, we soon realize that we need help from above. We need wisdom. There's not of ourselves. And so Manoah saw his need. And that's, I think, the first step in as a student, that we need to see our need of being taught. We need help. And he actually said there to teach us what we shall do unto the child. And then verse 12, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? So he saw his need of teaching. And there's so many areas of life that we dare not lean on our own understanding. We dare not trust the wisdom of men. That song that we didn't sing, but there's some good words, an old song there, and it's taken from Psalm 1. And there's the men that stand in the counsel of ungodly, and they walk in the way of sinners. And that's the natural man again, tends to listen to the wisdom of this world. But the spiritual man, he's going to meditate in the Word of God. He wants to be taught the things of God. And so that's our need. It's a serious walk that we're in, a serious race, the spiritual race that we're in this life. So I'm going to turn to the negative a bit. The Pharisees were one example. We know how they caused a lot of, they sure didn't help Jesus work. They were a real obstacle in Jesus' life. And it was actually the religious people that brought about Jesus' death were used in that. But they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to be taught. They thought they knew the truth. And that's a real danger of just knowing the Word of God, just having a knowledge of the Word of God. We know that in the world there's so many people that they know a lot about the Scriptures more than we do. But it's not a living word, and they don't know the Christ, the living Word of God. And there's that danger. Those Pharisees, they thought they knew the law, but they interpreted it according to their own understanding, and they didn't look beyond the law. They just looked at the letter of the law, the minister's death. And they resisted truth. And we know how when they're confronted with truth, they didn't want to be students. They were proud of their position as teachers and their own righteousness, and they actually resisted the truth. And then it's just an example of a characteristic of being a student that is a humble learner, or of resisting truth and being proud. And the more the Pharisees were faced with truth, the more they lost even common sense. They became almost, in their arguments and their attitude, they did become violent and didn't even have a sound mind then. They lost their rationale. And then there's that blind man, the example of that blind man that was healed, and he didn't understand how it all happened. He just said, this one thing I know, I was blind, now I see. And there's just an example of how they resisted truth. They said, are you going to teach us? Dost thou teach us? They, again, didn't want anything to draw them to the truth. And 2 Timothy 3:7. It's, this is in the New Covenant, and it's so much true today. And may God help us not to lean this way. But 3:7. Second Timothy 3:7, it's talking about the last days, perilous times, and the characteristics of men. And the society around us today, in verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So today there's all kinds of courses. There's Bible schools and seminaries and universities that teach religious courses. There's so much out there to learn, and yet it almost seems fewer find the truth. And you know, where did Paul go? Where did Moses go to learn to know God? It was in the wilderness. It was all alone. God was their teacher. And but so often people today, they lean on other men that maybe speak those great swelling words we talked about last week, and those teachers that have itching ears. They love to hear the praise of men and the honor and glory of men, but may we have ears to hear and the true word of God. I say sometimes it's just through humble servants that maybe, like Paul, that they don't come with great enticing words, but it's the simple, true word of God and the scriptures for what it says. So may that be our desire, that we don't just attain head knowledge, but it's experience and it's the life of Christ within. And then verse 8 there, the next verse says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We don't know too much about these people, but apparently they were some of Pharaoh's magicians that could duplicate some of Moses and Aaron's miracles. And they had some power, but they didn't yield. They didn't recognize the power of God. They resisted the true power of God. And they used their own abilities, or Satan's, maybe we could say. I'm not sure all there, but they withstood Moses. And so today, there's many of that same attitude. They resist submitting to God. They resist the truth. And reprobates. So any other thoughts anyone has, feel free. As I say, I don't have a lot of thoughts here today. We're looking at ourselves this morning. How can we... We're prone to that. We're prone to resist truth, especially when it hurts, when it affects us. So how can we encourage and develop our hearts to love the truth, to not resist the truth? Any thoughts? We all tend to have our pet doctrine sometimes, and that's not wrong in ourselves. But the challenge that our attitude, you know, in some views, there's different ways of looking at some of these things. And how is our attitude? How are we when something crosses our path, maybe, or other areas that we're weak? We're all weak in certain areas. We're strong in some, and challenge that we, when we're approached in those weak areas, that our attitude is right, our heart is right to receive truth. George read that verse from Acts there, those that gladly received the word of God. And that's a challenge, that we're among those that gladly receive it, apply it to our hearts and lives. We're good students. We have an end in view. Any other thoughts anyone has? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's a going back a bit to last week, but a good teacher, he presents the truth, but he also warns against the untruth and the false. And Paul was a very good teacher. He laid down doctrine, sound doctrine, usually in the beginning of the epistles. He established the doctrine, and then he made it practical. And but a lot of his, there's warnings against the untruth and false doctrines in that. And okay, chapter 2, verse 13. Sorry, I think I... Oh, it's 1 Thessalonians. Like, wrong here again, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He's speaking to the Thessalonians there, but in particular, but he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the church at Thessalonica, it says there that they were examples. They were heathen, and says there in the first chapter that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So there was a, they definitely, the power of the gospel did a change in their hearts and lives. And they turned from darkness to light. They were examples, and many saw that. And the word of the Lord went forth from the Thessalonians. And because of, they had received the gospel. And but here in verse 13 it says, Paul says he was thanking God without ceasing. He prayed much for his people. And it was because they didn't receive as the word of men. You know, sometimes in today's day and age, men have these speakers with great swelling words, you know, they can really sway and persuade people quite easily. And get a big following. But as soon as that leader is gone, you know, where's their strength? It was following the man. And we did go into that more last week, but here these Thessalonians, they didn't just take it as Paul's teaching. They took it as the word of God. And so when another place Paul says, consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So it's good when we hear the word of God that we examine it, we consider it. Is it the word of God or is it the word of men? And it's not wrong to prove. We're to prove all things. So, so often, you know, we hear people say, oh, it's just his idea. But we should check it out. Is it man's teaching or is it God's teaching? And here, Paul rejoiced that they didn't just take it as the word of men, but they took it as the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So they received the word with gladness, and then it did its work, its purifying, perfecting work in the hearts of the church here. And I trust that's my desire and your desire, that when we hear the word of God, we receive it as the word of God with fear and trembling, that we don't take it lightly. You know, so often it's challenged, we're stirred, we hear good messages of truth, yet we soon forget that we hear what we hear. And it's a challenge to meditate on those things and apply them to our hearts and lives. And we all need that. I need that. Okay, then, again, our attitude. James 1:21. Want to read James there? Book of Faith. James is very practical. He's teaching, he's speaking to those that are going through suffering and persecution, and he's encouraging to have patience. And there's different thoughts there. But then, in verse 21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So what does that mean, to receive with meekness? What do you say on that? It goes on there, but not being doers, or to be doers, not just to be, not just hearers, but to be doers also. So again, if we take it as the word of God, we'll strive to be doers, not just hearers. So what does it mean to receive with meekness the engrafted word? It's good to think on those words there. Let you share some of your thoughts here. Who's got some thoughts? Brother Clarence.
Says here concerning the engrafted word, would that leave a thought maybe that it's something we receive instead of we learn? That's sort of the way I've taken that. And I'm back in Thessalonians chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking there, the man of sin being revealed. But then down in verse 10 it says that there's those that are going to be deceived by him, because they did not receive the love of the truth. And there again it speaks about receiving something. And personally for myself, I believe we ask for that. We pray for that, to receive the love of the truth as a gift from the Lord. That it's a gift given to us by revelation, not so much by head knowledge, but by the heart knowledge.
Okay. Appreciate that. What does it mean to be engrafted? Just anyone? It's not separate, is it? It becomes a very part of the thinking of grafting in a tree. Or you can use other examples. If you weld two pieces of steel together, it's engrafted. It becomes one. And so, yes, not just listening to teachers, but really being partaker that. Again, going back to Psalm 1, he meditates on the Word of God. It becomes food. It becomes a part of him. So to receive the Word of God, that's what's necessary. We can just be hearers, but we must receive it and must become a part of it. And yeah, that love of the truth, that's... where was that, Clarence? Chapter 2, yeah. Yeah, being as we're talking about that, we'll look at that. As students of God's Word, we need the love of the truth. We need to value the truth of God. And the contrast is there, the deception, and when they don't have the love for the truth. So that has to be preeminent there, a love for the truth. And it's fearful there that, if you look in the context there, that those that don't have the love for the truth, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth. So must believe and receive and then walk in that truth. So it's a challenge for us. Okay, back to James there. So what is meekness? What spirit is that? The spirit of meekness. Did the Pharisees have a meek spirit when they heard the teachings of Jesus? Ron, here's...
there's a, not exactly sure where it is right now, but it talks about the Gentile people are grafted into the olive, the example there is, into the root. I can't just think right now where that is.
Romans 11.
But it says, don't boast, don't be proud, don't sit there on your branch, so to speak, and be proud of your position, because God can cut you out too. God, and I think there's an, it's an attitude. And I agree with Clarence, that implanted word in Corinthians, you were over there earlier in 1 Corinthians 2. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That also is a gift. That well, it just so happens that I'm preaching the message here after you're done. So I guess I'll use myself as an example. But when I'm done sharing, if you believe it because I said so, that's very bad foundation for you to move ahead in your Christian life. But if you can see it in the scriptures and the Spirit of God witnesses to you, yes, that's true. Or what you're saying, yes, this is true. Long after we're dead and gone, they'll still be serving the Lord because it came from the Lord and it changed their life. And that is the miracle of the Gospels, that it has nothing to do with men. It's the power of God. And there is definitely, we need to maintain that humble attitude that the Spirit of God will still stay in our life and continue to teach us.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects we could go out on here, but as I said at the beginning, we have to realize that we're in a warfare, we're in a race, and I think one part of being a good student is that we realize who God is. That God is a holy, just God. And we realize who He is. We realize how weak and nothing we are, and that we need His teaching, we need His truth, His instruction. And so that would bring about that meekness, that humility, that quietness, meek and quiet spirit that we receive, that we listen to teaching, and we consider it and apply it to our hearts and lives. All right, Acts 17. We had a verse from Acts this morning, but also in 17 there. The young, vibrant church there. Lots of zeal, lots of life. I guess this was a church at Thessalonica too, but the same one I was reading about. But it talks about the Bereans. And then verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So the church at Berea there, he's commending them. I guess they had been at Thessalonica, then they went to Berea. But anyway, he says they were more noble because they received the word with all readiness of mind. So again, they had a hunger for truth. They gladly received the truth. Their mind was desiring things above. They were hungry and thirsting after righteousness, the true riches. And then they just, again, they just didn't take it as teaching of men. They took it as a teaching of God, and they compared it with the scriptures. They searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So a good student isn't going to just swallow everything that he hears. Heard a man a few years ago, and he was really challenging people to know the scripture, to know the word of God. He says, don't take what I say for truth. He says, look at the word of God yourself. And I say, if we just listen to man, we'll soon be swayed and become unstable. But we need to be established and grounded in the truth. We need to know the word of God that is unchanging, that is consistent. When they talk about the counterfeit, you know, so many people say, well, you can study the counterfeit, but if you know the truth, if you know the real, the genuine, then you'll easily discern what is the counterfeit. And so it is, if you know the truth, there's soon red flags go up. There's something not quite right with some of these false teachers that come in. It just doesn't taste right or feel right, as they say. So that's a challenge. We need to know the truth. Otherwise, and it sounds good, we might take it as truth when it isn't truth. So, okay, anything else on with meekness or readiness of mind or our hearts? Any other thoughts? Brother Edward has something to share yet.
I guess when I think of meekness, I think of someone who suffers wrong against himself without resentment.
All right, so it doesn't exalt himself, doesn't seek revenge, doesn't seek to be justified even. And Jesus, of course, was that perfect example of meekness. He did not defend himself. So may we encourage in one another that meek spirit to receive the word of God. Okay, we're not to despise 2 Thessalonians 5:20. It does. The word prophesying is used there, but if I can change that to the word teaching, they're very close, they overlap there, but 2 Thessalonians 5:20. First Thessalonians 5:20. You mixed up this morning. He's giving a lot of short admonitions there to Thessalonians, just in closing, some practical thoughts. And one is, well, maybe we read the one before. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Or in Hebrews it says to suffer the word, or to allow the word of exhortation, to suffer teaching, to allow teaching. So that, again, with that meek spirit, opposite to what the Pharisees had, to despise or not mock or ridicule prophesyings or teachings. And then the next verse says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So again, like the Bereans there, they proved the way of truth. So again, as a good student, you know, so often something is said that we don't agree with, we tend to mock or knock down the teacher. But if we really have the attitude that we want to receive it as the word of God, not the word of men, we'll not despise the truth. We'll not despise what is taught. We'll consider it, meditate upon it, and search it out, prove it. Okay, just time's almost up here, but yeah, we did look at that love for the truth, that hunger for righteousness, and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, one of the blessings was to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So I'm sure that those that are hungry and thirst after righteousness, they want to be taught. They want to learn more of Jesus, more of God's ways. Okay, just in closing, I want to encourage the book of Proverbs. I've mentioned this different times, but the man that wrote it, it's hard to understand. He's a very wise man, and yet he made shipwreck of his own life. It's a warning to us, but it's part of Scripture, and we believe God inspired him. There's a lot of truths in Proverbs, and I encourage all of us, especially young people, to read the book of Proverbs. If you want to be taught, don't be just running after a man, but open the Word of God. And the book of Proverbs is it's just part of the Word of God, but there's a lot of really practical wisdom there. And it brings out the wise and the foolish. And the wise is going to listen. The wise is going to receive instruction and give ear to instruction and teaching. And the foolish, of course, he resists that. He despises it. And we know his end. It's going to be shipwreck. And but the book of Proverbs, especially the first seven or so there, there's a lot about the value of being instructed in God's ways. Or he uses a father here to listen to your father and your mother. And we could spiritualize that to our Heavenly Father. But to hear and to know and to listen to the instruction, the Word of God, that will bring the fruit of it, will be profitable. And there was a comment made, I think, the first Sunday about false teachers. The fruit of it, you should know them by their fruits. And so Proverbs brings out that the fruit, the result of our attitude in listening to instruction and teaching. So as I say, we won't go into much, but there's so much instruction there about how to set our eyes to that which is right, and our feet, and your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, ponder the path of your feet. A wise person, again, is going to listen to teaching and instruction and think on the way that it's going to lead him, the end of that path. And so I think that's all the time will take. Could go on a lot more on that, but I just trust these few thoughts. As I said the first Sunday, we have a lot of needs, and I think part of that is teaching, the need of receiving teaching, scriptural, sound truth. There's so much teaching out there, but what teaching do we want? So consider what we're listening to, and who we're listening to, and the direction it's going to take us. May God give us wisdom to hunger and thirst after that righteousness, that truth that sets men free. So just want to encourage each one to, all through life, no matter how old, how young we are learning, and we got so much more to learn, you know. As you look in the Word of God, we know so little. And but God wants to pour His blessing without measure, and part of that is to know Him, to know the ways of God. So any other thoughts just in closing? I'd say there's a lot more aspects I thought of and could have covered, but I just want to do a brief consider what we need here. Well, may God bless His Word, and may we go on to perfection and growing together, part of that body of Christ that exhorts and admonishes one another and encourages one another in the Lord. So.